As we stand, let us pray. Lord God, we pray that you would speak afresh into our hearts and our minds. Help us to be ready to hear and willing to obey. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, please do take a seat and do stretch out and take a Bible and turn to page 633. There should be some at the ends of the pews or in front of you. We've come to the very end of our summer series in the Psalms, and it seems only appropriate to look at the last two Psalms in the Psalter. So we're going to look at Psalm 149 and 150. Now, I'm assuming you know the person that you're sitting next to reasonably well. If this isn't the case, then I want you to imagine in your mind's eye that you're sitting next to somebody that you do know well. Perhaps they're back at home. What is it that you particularly value about that person? What is it that you value the most? To invite you to take the opportunity to tell them what that is at some point today or in the day ahead. Praising other people is a very important thing to do, isn't it? And some of us are better at it than others, probably. And also, receiving praise is quite an art and a skill, and some of us are probably better at that than others. These final two psalms in the Psalter invite us, no, in fact, more than that, they tell us that we should praise God. In fact, the word praise God, or the phrase praise God, comes up 17 times in these short psalms. Now, I think praise is closely linked to the word worship. And worship in the Old English means worth-ship, giving something worth. So here's my working definition of praise: seeing what God is worth and giving him what he is worth. So first of all, let's think about seeing what God is worth. Many things in our world catch our attention, don't they, and draw our worship. We give them worth: a beautiful sunset or sunrise, a beautiful car, or in my case, since I'm a sailor, a beautiful boat that's usually somebody else's, which is sleeker and faster than mine. A beautiful person, a beautiful home. For you, read whatever that fits. We're all made to worship. As human beings, we're made to worship. And we will worship, whether or not it's God, we will worship something or someone. We will worship what we think we need to fulfill ourselves. And sadly, so often, we end up worshiping things that are really good in themselves, but we give them too much attention. To me, that is almost the working definition of sin. It's not about doing bad things. It's about wanting good things too much, more than God. So why worship God? Well, I believe if we worship God, if we place the worth, our ultimate worth, to him, if we focus upon him, then that is the safest, the most life-giving, the most appropriate thing for us to do. We should worship God because he is worth it. And he's worth it because of who he is. Psalm 150, verse 2 tells us, "Praise him for his acts of power and his surpassing greatness." If you were given, hopefully, a news sheet as you came in, you will have seen a little bookmark, a buff bookmark. Could you just take that out now? Because I want to draw your attention to the words on it. Here are just a few from many ways that we could describe who God is. The Bible describes him as a father, as a king, as my best friend, as bread, as a good shepherd, as a guide, as a vine, as a healer, as light, and like a refiner's fire, to name but a few. Perhaps you could take this away, and it might help you in your prayers this week. I wonder which of these is particularly helpful to you at this point in your life. I wonder as well if there are any others that you need to think about more. Sometimes I think we get stuck, if that's the right word, with a particular image of God. And we need to broaden our image of God, because that will broaden our praise and our appreciation of him. He's not one-dimensional, he's multidimensional in the way the Bible describes him. For example, for me, I have recently been drawn to focus more on Jesus as my Lord, and just meditated more on my relationship with him in that way. And that's been really helpful. Perhaps you'd like to do the same. Here is a way that someone has described God in a slightly poetic form. I invite you perhaps just to close your eyes for a moment as you hear these words. And may they reinforce your understanding of who God is. The Bible says, "My king is a seven-way king. He is the king of the Jews. That is a racial king. He is the king of Israel. That is a national king. He's the king of righteousness, the king of the ages, the king of heaven, the king of glory, the king of kings, and the Lord of lords. That's my king." Well, I wonder, do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son, Jesus. He's the sinner's savior, the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the core and necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the ages. Yes, he is. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. And I wonder, do you know him today? His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I wonder, do you know him today? This is our God who deserves our worship. So how do we give him worth? Well, these two psalms today draw our attention and focus our attention on singing as one way of giving God worth. Why should we sing? Well, I'm sure all of you are here tonight because you're convinced of the importance of singing. Otherwise, you'd be at the 8 o'clock in the morning where we don't have any singing. See, if we got rid of singing, we wouldn't need all kinds of things in church, would we? Far be it for me to suggest that. No, in fact, singing is really important, isn't it? Why is singing so important? Two or three thoughts. Singing helps us to remember things. Think of the rhymes that your teachers taught you when you were back in school. I'm sure, Mike, you helped to teach many rhymes to children. Times tables, kings and queens of England, countries, capitals. I bet you could repeat them now, even though they're maybe 50 years across the horizon for some of us. It's very poignant that on many occasions you can see the power of music in patients like Alzheimer's patients who couldn't tell you the name of their spouse or their children, but instantly can sing songs that they learn as a child. So singing, if it reminds us, helps us to remember times tables, can help us to remember things about God if we sing about his character and who he is. Secondly, singing helps us to engage emotionally with the truths of God. It moves us in subtle and profound ways, helps us to take a little bit more time to reflect upon the meaning of words. It helps to stretch out their meaning. It can help us to repeat and put space in between words. And all of those things can help us to engage emotionally with the words that we're singing. It kind of imagine, in a sense, it amplifies the emotion of the words, whether they're joyful, reverent, or even sorrowful. Thirdly, singing helps us to use words to express our togetherness, our unity. People sing together, don't they, in the most strange places. At sporting events where fans sing enthusiastically about their desire to crush the opponent. People sing at New Year's Eve parties, at Christmas time, at rock concerts, at weddings, and at funerals. And when you're eating out, occasionally, you have to endure those well-meaning but musically challenged waiters who've discovered that it's your birthday. And they sing to you. I had this experience in Paris this summer, this spring, because it was my birthday, and somebody told the restaurant that it was my birthday. So I had a French equivalent, which was great. Why do we do this, though? It's not always enjoyable, is it? But these events, perhaps, are not all equally significant, but something similar is happening. The singing tends to bind us together in a way. It's more effective than if we were just to recite or shout the words in unison. Singing enables us to spend extended times communicating thoughts, passions, intentions. And that process can actually, if you think about it, have a physical effect on our bodies. It helps us to feel well. And when we sing, every voice matters, whether or not you're in tune. I think that's really important. I think why it's so important that we have a great organ like this in our church, because it means sometimes you can't hear yourself or the person next to you. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It was really brought home to me the other day where someone pointed that out and said, the bird that you hear in the morning is singing praise to God, because the bird is a creature of God, just as much as the lion roaring across the prairie or the dolphin clicking through the ocean. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And let's therefore join in with everything. We might not always like the choice of hymns. We might be cautious about any hymn that's been written after the year that we were born. But remember, interestingly, what verse 1 of Psalm 149 says. sing to the Lord a new song. And perhaps we need to dig out the tambourines and harps and trumpets and lyres and strings and flutes and even the cymbals. I'm sure they're hidden away somewhere, Anthony, aren't they? Under the choir stalls. We just haven't found them yet. But on a more serious note, the psalm and the psalmist seem to point out that singing is part of warfare. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 149. Alongside a double-edged sword in their hands, may the praise of God be in their mouths. We had a lovely baptism at Ardley this morning for Maisie and Lucas, a 5- and a 6-year-old. And you'll know the baptism liturgy probably fairly well. We say, fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world, and the devil. You might wonder, think that's slightly strange liturgy to use, but it's getting at an important point, isn't it? That Christian people, whether they're 5- or 6-year-olds or 85-year-olds, are signing up to be soldiers, in God's army. For the writers of the psalmist's day and the psalmist himself, it was pretty clear where the battle lines lay. For David, he was fighting against King Saul. For the Israelites, that small fledgling nation, they were always, always under pressure from much more powerful pagan countries around them. They had to fight for their very survival every step of the way. For Christian people like you and me today, the battle is different, but I believe no less real. St. Paul says, it is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers in this world, and the spiritual forces of evil. Although if you're a Christian in Iraq, or in Sudan, or in Eritrea, it's very real. All too real. So we're told to wield the sword of the Spirit as we praise God. And the sword of the Spirit, we know, as Paul tells us, is the word of God. So just as Jesus used scripture when he was tempted to do wrong by the devil in the desert, perhaps, and here's a suggestion, the next time you're tempted, break out into song. The person sitting opposite you in the office might find it a little bit strange. So maybe you just have to do it under your breath. But if that helps you to refocus on the one whose worship should be getting your attention, then all to the good. And as soon as we turn those words into song, I guarantee the devil will flee. So we've thought a lot about our worship of God, our giving worth to him in song. I just wanted to remind you of a beautiful balance to this from a rather obscure prophet at the end of the Old Testament, which you may or may not have read. But the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, says this: the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. His love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. So it's an incredibly beautiful picture that God is singing over us. So we thought about how we give worth to God through our worship, our singing, and perhaps some of the reasons for that and the benefits that we get from singing. But finally, as important, if perhaps not more important than this, our gathered singing is what we do when we are not gathered in church. When we go out through that door tonight, back to, quote, real life, or wherever we're going to be this time tomorrow, at work or caring for a loved one, bringing up children or grandchildren. That's the place where God sees our worship of him. That's the place where the rubber hits the road for all of us. And so you might notice on the back of the notice board at the back as you go out of church, I've just pinned a little phrase that we say so often, but just as a reminder, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Next week, we're going to be beginning a new series in our preaching and in our home groups here. It's called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And there's a bit of detail about it in the new kind of what we call sort of season card that you've been given inside the church chimes. This series recognizes that we've all got a front line. Could be at home, could be in the office, could be in the gym, could be in the sports club, the society, wherever. And that's the place where God has put us now. And that's the place where he wants us to be a witness to him, to give worth, to worship him, to be a blessing to other people. We're going to be exploring that over the next few weeks together. But let's just come back to the emphasis of these two beautiful psalms at the end of the Psalter and remind ourselves of the God whom we worship. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.